There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth.
Okay, we're back on the Investigative Journal, my second hour, and that was quite an interview with the wife of Nuri Rivera, the wife of former Jesuit priest Alberto Rivera. And I just wanted to recap this, and then we're going to move on to my good friend and attorney, Jonathan Levy, who's with us this hour to update us regarding the lawsuit, the federal lawsuit against the Vatican, and he's representing the victims from the Croatian genocide. And that's quite a story, some of the things that are going on in that trial. By the way, that's been covered up by the media. No one knows really about it unless you listen to this show and a couple others who carry Jonathan's message. So we'll get to that. But let me just recount exactly what we're going to have Nuri back for a part two interview next week, Monday. So write that down. I'm going to bring her back Monday, same time. And this woman has a lot to tell, and she's quite brave. She's quite open. And she told you what she has learned from being married to a former Jesuit priest who was killed. She said 100% killed by the Vatican through poisoning. She said that they used the same poison that they used to use to their detractors in Spain when Alberto learned about the evil when he worked in the Vatican. He was then assigned to infiltrate American churches, which he did, and how they would do that. He would come in undercover, gain the trust of the pastor, and then set the pastor up with a woman to discredit him, who would either have sex or lie about a rape. And that's finally when he was here doing that in America and Canada. He finally found God. He couldn't do it any longer, and he defected. Then the Vatican put out a complete smear campaign against him, stating, and they destroyed all of his records, said he wasn't a Jesuit priest. That is not the truth. He is, and that's been confirmed by Archbishop Gerard Bouffard, the Archbishop of Guatemala, who has also now come over to the good side to tell you the truth about what's happening here. And so at that particular juncture, she talked about when they killed him with this poison, and from that point on, they tried to persecute her. She said they've tried to kill her several times. Car has been tampered with. They've entered into her home trying to steal many artifacts. One, a Bible given to Alberto Rivera Jr., or Alberto Rivera by Pedro Arrupe, the former Jesuit general who we know is in charge of the whole operation. Now it's Father Hans Kolbenbach. And they tried to steal this Bible that was from the 15th century. Then she verified that they asked to find they'd asked her to tell her where his gravesite was and that they would take care of her for the rest of her life, take care of her son's education and money. And the reason they want to do that is to take his bones back to the Vatican to worship them, because she said these people worship death, not God in life. So we're going to have her back because she's very outspoken, she has a book that she's going to send from another Jesuit priest that's not been on the market that I'm going to get, an American Jesuit who was killed by the Vatican. No one knows about this. And she told people categorically that this is the evil force behind our government's downfall, the downfall of the Israeli government, the downfall of the Middle Eastern governments, and they buy their power. They're quite wealthy organization, as my next guest, Jonathan Levy, after this short break, will attest to, because he's learning about it through a federal lawsuit now going on in San Francisco. Back with Jonathan Levy after this break.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache, and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse, or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Okay, we're back on the investigative. Guest is Jonathan Levy, and he's an attorney fighting for the rights of the victims of the Croatian genocide. And this is a lawsuit that's going on right as we speak in San Francisco in the federal court. Jonathan, before we get into that, you've talked to Nuri Rivera before, haven't you?
Yes, it's been quite a while, but she is something else.
Yeah, and boy, she told quite a story in this hour, and she's going to come back again, but she just shows you the evil behind the organization that you're fighting against right now, and I think you've seen what they can do. But boy, she tells it from an insider's a wife of a man who tried to tell the truth, Father Alberto Rivera, former Jesuit, and everything seems to add up when she starts telling this story that they've tried to persecute her, kill her too, to keep her quiet. So she was saying that the bounds of evil they know just continue, and you know it because you're working on a case where you can prove they killed 1 million people in a genocide, correct, or were involved.
That's true, and of course, you know, Alberto Rivera was one of the first to level the allegation that the Vatican Bank had received Nazi gold.
Right.
And
right.
Our filing of the lawsuit, of course, came after his death, vindicated his allegation.
Right, because you've been able to prove that, correct?
That beyond a shadow of a doubt, the Vatican Bank received millions of dollars in looted gold from former Yugoslavia right after the Second World War. No doubt about it. We have testimony, witnesses, and documentation. We just want to get our day in court.
And you also, this lawsuit's also brought out a lot of things. Also, the connection between the CIA and the Vatican and James Jesus Angleton, who was a CIA man working in Rome, right?
Well, absolutely. There's a connection to the CIA through Angleton, of course, forgery of documents after the fact, as we have proved through our... And we have the only remaining witness who was Angleton's nemesis there in Rome in 1947, Bill Gowan, who worked for Army Counterintelligence, and he, of course, outlived Angleton. And we've proven and shown through testimony that Angleton forged documents to try to set Gowan up. Additionally, in addition to the CIA, the Federal Reserve Bank was involved and may still be through Vatican gold accounts.
Right, and they were instrumental in forming this through way back when the Federal Reserve was formed. The Vatican had a big part in this, don't you agree?
Well, so I've been told. Certainly there's no question, because I have the documentation, that gold from the Vatican flowed into the Federal Reserve Bank in the 1950s and probably the 1940s as well.
Right. Well, let's get into a little bit. Tell our listeners about this lawsuit, who you're representing, and through that we can get an understanding of just the evil behind these people, and there's just so many people killed in Croatia. Go ahead.
Right. It's really very simple. It's a money laundering case involving gold looted during the Second World War in former Yugoslavia by Croatian Nazis with the backing of some elements of the Vatican. And after the war, they had a huge stockpile of loot, a lot of it gold from concentration camps run by Croatians, some of it stolen from Yugoslavian banks, and miscellaneous loot. And that money was taken down to the Vatican Bank in 1946. And we're trying to get an accounting and recovery of it. It's a fact. There's witnesses. There's no question about it. And, of course, it is just one small part of the story, because if the Vatican Bank laundered funds from Yugoslavia, you can only imagine what else they were laundering post-war.
Right. And you've documented, didn't they take a train and covered it as a medical train to get all the gold out?
Well, that's one of the allegations. Now in our case, eyewitness testimony tells us that there were approximately a convoy of 10 trucks that came down from northern Italy with Croatians wearing British uniforms in 1946, pulled up at a Franciscan monastery in Rome, and from there the money was deposited in the Vatican Bank. And that's what our witness, Bill Gowan, has told us, and he interviewed all the principal parties as part of an investigation in 1947. And that's what the documentation seems to say. Now, in regards to trainloads of gold, yes, I've heard anecdotal information from very good sources that as the Germans were pulling out of Italy and into northern Italy, and the Italian gold reserves were being moved north to Milan, inexplicably, trainloads of gold were coming down from Germany to Rome. And the only destination for that could have been the Vatican Bank. Now,
right,
certainly not the Italian National Bank, which was being evacuated at that very time.
You know, tell people what you found out through this lawsuit and your other research, people that can't get their mind around the Vatican being the real spiritual controllers of what's happening in our country now. They say, well, the Vatican is just a benign religious organization. They don't have much power. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I can tell you in regards to the Vatican Bank, it's set up solely to receive movables and immovables that have been partially earmarked for piratical purposes. That means it can launder anything, which in this case, gold, bricks, jewels, what have you. So if you have a money-making operation that can launder all sorts of things, that makes you very powerful financially. As far as the Vatican being a political force, absolutely correct. In fact, Yugoslavia is a prime example. The allegation is, and I think it will be proven, the Vatican financed the breakup of former Yugoslavia in the 10-year war there.
Right, and so here they are financing, talking about good, talking about God, while they're financing a war, killing hundreds of thousands of people.
That's amazing. Right, that's right. And so they certainly are a temporal power, not just a spiritual power. And,
right.
As I've said before, some of our best supporters are Roman Catholics, and we have no problem with that religion. The religion itself is benign, but the people behind it in the Vatican are anything but religious.
Yeah, yeah, And that's what this lawsuit is showing. Could you tell us what you found out as far as, you know, the Vatican, when you were doing testimony, the Vatican lawyers admitted to the genocide, but their argument was, and explain that to us, their argument was that it was justified under international law?
Yeah, well, many strange things. This lawsuit's been ongoing in the federal court since 1999, so it's been going on for a while. And many strange things have happened. Among them is the argument by the Vatican Bank that, well, if genocide was carried out in Yugoslavia, they were only doing it against their own citizens. Therefore, under international law, that was okay because you're allowed to kill your own citizens and steal from them.
That makes no sense to me. So the Vatican argued...
Yeah. Makes no sense at all, Greg. Don't even try to figure it out.
Yeah. So here we have, we must tell these people, who is the Pope's lawyer in San Francisco? This is interesting.
Well, they have a single lawyer who represents the Vatican Bank, the Vatican, or the Pope whenever they're sued. And his name's Jeff Lena, L-E-N-A. He's a sole practitioner out of Berkeley, California.
And so he's representing the Pope in this case, right?
He's representing the Vatican Bank, but in other lawsuits where the Pope or a high Vatican official or the Holy See or something connected to the Vatican directly is sued, he is always in there as counsel or co-counsel of some sort.
Right, and his name is Jeff Lena?
L-E-N-A, that's right.
L-E-N-A from San Francisco. So let's get back to this argument he made. He said, you said 800,000 to a million people were killed and it's a violation of international law. The attorney argues the Vatican did admit to this, to the genocide, right?
Well, the Vatican's argument was, well, if there was genocide, it was just against their own citizens. Therefore, there was no violation of international law. That's a typical sort of Jesuitic argument. And mind you, they don't admit to anything, Greg. They just simply try to twist it. So that's an example of trying to twist things around.
So they just twisted it and said, if it's your own citizens, you can kill them, right? So let's just look at America. Well, if you're a Catholic here, they could do the same thing to you, right?
I suppose. I mean, I wouldn't try to implement any of the arguments that the Vatican Bank has been making here. I mean, if you've done wrong, you should just admit to it like the Swiss banks did, like the French banks did, like the Austrian and German banks did, and, you know, seek restitution and reconciliation. In fact, this is one of the last remaining unsettled cases from the Second World War, because it's been so clear-cut that there's been wrongdoing on the part of banks. But because of the Vatican's unique position, it cannot bring itself to admit that, yeah, we might have done some wrong. Because, of course, the Vatican banks has a history of doing wrong up to the present.
Right. And that we can go back to the Vatican Bank scandal in the 80s, which ties into this and shows what they were doing to the Italian banks and the European banks back then, and a bunch of people that were killed over that scandal. So that ties in too, don't you think?
Well, absolutely. And the Martin Frankel case of the 90s. Martin Frankel, the fugitive financier who looted several insurance companies, and where did he launder the money through? About $750 million disappeared into the Vatican Bank. In fact, there's an ongoing lawsuit in federal court in Mississippi over that, filed by five state insurance commissioners, which has really not been covered by the media at all.
And that's going on right now, right?
It's been going on for years, and pretty much a media cover-up on that one.
Yeah, and how about the coverage on your case?
We receive sporadic coverage when there's a court ruling, but again, because the victims here were mainly Christians, not Jews, mainly Serbian Orthodox Christians, we don't get any sort of the coverage that, of course, came out of the Swiss bank case or the Austrian bank case or anything like that. I've never been asked to appear, for example, on a national TV show.
Yeah, and this is a huge case, I mean, in the federal courts. And why was it brought in the San Francisco courts, in the federal court?
Right. We brought it out there in San Francisco for a couple reasons. Plaintiffs were out. Some of the plaintiffs lived in California. Secondly, one of the main figures who was involved in looting the gold had lived in California at one time.
Okay, Jonathan, I'm going to interrupt you right there. We'll come back for our last half hour with Jonathan Levy, the attorney representing the Croatian victims of a Vatican genocide. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
desire your health and vitality to be in harmony with the rhythms of nature? Trivortex technology features subtle energy products that boost energy levels, relieve pain and stress, and much more at very affordable prices. You have the opportunity to wear vitamins, minerals, and nutrients that absorb through your skin rather than taking them orally. This is real, not science fiction. Go to trivortex.com, that is TRIVORTEX.com, to open a whole new realm of health and vitality for you and your family. This is Brian David Anderson, inventor of Trivortex technology products that assist in so many areas, such as pain relief, symptoms of menopause, losing weight, or stopping smoking. Trivortex technology is in harmony with the rhythms of nature.
Hi, this is Steve Shank with Fearless Radio and RBN, your only source for solutions to problems of troubled times. Do you realize that 3 years ago, the JMS Food Group warned people that there would come a time when if you didn't grow it yourself, or you already had it stored, you wouldn't dare eat it? Wait a minute. E. coli on our spinach and lettuce? That's our food you're talking about. You know where E. coli comes from? Feces, black water. In short, poop. We have to decide quickly to get all the food we're going to need. It's obvious that contamination can leave us hungry even before food shortages shut us down. For help ordering your food supply and protection from dishonest suppliers, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. On the phone, 800-409-5633.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc. patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, here's the number to call, 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com. That number to call again, 702-953-0267.
John is in a basement mixing up the medicine. Thinking about the government. The man in a trench coat batch I laid off says he's got a bad cough, wants to get it paid off. Look out, kid, it's something you did. God knows when, but you're doing it again. You better duck down the alleyway looking for a new friend. The man in a coonskin cap in a pig pen wants $11 bills. You only got 10.
Okay, my guest is Jonathan Levy, and we're talking about this lawsuit against the Vatican Bank in San Francisco. And you were telling us why you brought it there. And what's the latest on it? Just give us an update and tell us how close you are to really getting any compensation for these victims.
Well, it's been up to the...
Are you there?
Hi, Greg. It's been up to the Supreme Court and back. Now we're back in the trial court, and there's another motion to dismiss pending. It's been pending since November of last year, so... We're hoping the judge will rule soon so the case can get moving.
Right. And what type of money are you looking for here?
Well, the first thing we're asking for is what's called a legal remedy called an accounting, because the estimates of what's involved varied from anywhere from a couple dozen million dollars to upwards to $300 or $400 million. So we'd like the Vatican to reveal its accounts.
Right. And at this particular juncture, what's the next step? What's the next hearing coming up?
Well, we don't know. That we're waiting for the judge, Maxine Chesney, to rule.
And she's ruling on what now? What motion is?
Yeah, she's ruling on yet another Vatican motion to dismiss the case. Unfortunately, because these are complex matters, they raise a lot of defenses and, of course, try to drag things out as long as possible.
And this has been going on since 1999, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And what are some of the horrors that you've learned, the way these people were killed in Croatia? What was going on there at these concentration camps? So what have you learned about that? People might want to know.
Well, you know, it's a historic fact. Again, it really is not a secret, but it's not been well publicized in the U.S. because, of course, the victims were Christians for the most part, and they perished at the hands of Croatian Nazis called the Ustasha. Often their cadre, their upper leaders there were drawn from Franciscan monks. In fact, the commander of their worst concentration camp, Jasenovac, was a Croatian monk known as Father Satan. It's just terrible. Whereas the Germans were efficient in their killing machine, the Croatians seemed to enjoy torturing their victims, gouging their eyes out, slitting their throats. It was a lot of low-tech murder going on there. So, and a lot of victims, people thrown in the river. Just about any horrible method of execution you can imagine was carried out.
So a complete genocide, and you say upwards of 1 million people.
Right. Well, and when you count all the fighting and villages were burned, people deported, probably about 250,000 perished in the concentration camps, and then, as I say, post-war estimates went upwards to 1 million. You really had an ethnic cleansing going on, and then it was reopened again in the 1990s. In fact, with Vatican financing, the Croatians, again, they portrayed it as their struggle for freedom, but wearing some of the same indicia, some of the same uniforms and such from the Second World War, they began again terrorizing Serbs.
Right, and so they started all over again in the 90s.
Started all over again, and unfortunately, this time the United States came in on the side of the Vatican and bombed the heck out of the Serbs in Belgrade.
Yeah, and I wonder why. And I was with Clinton. We all know who he is. Just amazing to me. And now we see, and I wanted to get your thoughts, because I know you've learned a lot working this case and you've researched on your own. But what's happening in our country now is just, as an attorney, what are your feelings about the way they've ripped away our rights, the Patriot Act, all the other things that are happening, just the splitting of an American family, too, and the middle class with the immigration? What's your thoughts about what's going on here?
Well, a lot of terrible things with our borders seemingly porous to certain groups. However, you know, the best way I've noticed that there's been a change, because, of course, when you're living it, you don't really notice the change, do you, Greg?
No.
It's kind of subtle. But if you go to one of our neighboring countries, like the Bahamas, for example, they're living under the boot heel of Homeland Security. You go down there, you can't even get a money transfer because Homeland Security basically dictates to the Bahamian government what can and can't be done down there. And then you notice it. You say, hey, wait a minute, this is like a police state, and the people are terrified, and it's because of our Homeland Security dictating to a small government that's on our borders what they have to do. And then you say, hey, yeah, there's been a lot of changes in our own country, too, not for the better.
Right, and that reminds me of more or less like an SS type of operation down there.
Well, they use Homeland Security, or they use the drug interdiction rubric to try to take away your rights. Of course, you know what happened to the Border Patrol agents who tried to stop that drug dealer. Now they're sitting in jail.
Yeah, and, you know, people ask me, what are the two biggest problems we face in our country? And I said, you know, one of the things that scares me the most has been the change of has been the Patriot Act, because it shows you the real reason behind 9/11 and what their end game is.
Okay.
And also with the terrorism of our children, how they're treated, how the pedophile rings have grown in this country, stealing thousands of children. And I think these two issues need to be looked at. And as a lawyer, it must have sent shivers up your spine when you started reading the Patriot Act.
Well, you know, it's bad news, and when they tell you you can't do certain things, you say, well, that'll never impact me, but it does. And that's
okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back for our final half hour with Jonathan Levy, back after this short message.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Many Bible prophecies written thousands of years ago have been fulfilled in the past 100 years. Unknown by most people, even Bible-reading Christians, major end-time prophecies are being fulfilled today, including the one-world government, the one-world religion, the 10-nation confederacy of Daniel and Revelation, the mark of the beast, or 666. Speculation abounds about these ancient prophecies and what they might mean today. Now, one of the most foremost scholars on geopolitics, Dr. Michael Kaufman, who has stopped the ratification of international treaties in the U.S. Senate, has just released a DVD called World Events and Prophecy. His DVD explains how these and other major prophecies are being fulfilled today. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy. It's only $20 plus shipping and handling at discerningtoday.org or call toll-free 877-271-7639. Don't be caught off guard. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy at discerningtoday.org.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Okay, we're back on the Investigative Journal. My guest, Jonathan Levy. We got a half hour, Jonathan, and you've been telling us about this lawsuit, and you've learned a lot. Let's go back to what you learned about the connections. I think people need to understand the Vatican has their hands in our government now more than ever. And you researched it all the way back to World War II when you saw their connection to the CIA and other things. But tell us what you learned going back to World War II.
Yeah, well, after the Second World War and perhaps during it, one of the most important at the time was the OSS, and then it was known by a number of different names before it became the CIA, but one of their most important stations was the Rome Station, and that was run by a fellow by the name of Jim Angleton, who later became head of counterintelligence operations at the CIA, among other things. And that's where he got his start, and he got his start essentially working with the upper echelon at the Vatican, including then Under Secretary of State Montini, who went on to be Paul VI. And when
right,
Paul,
so there was the,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, Paul VI was a CIA asset, and I truly believe when he got into power as the Pope, he continued that, and same with John Paul II, who with CIA engaged in money laundering to help out Solidarity in Poland as it destabilized the Soviet Union. So the Vatican and the CIA have worked closely together at least since 1945, and I believe that relationship continues to this day.
Right, and now they're working through the same channels, just with a different pope who's put in. You know, I've done research on this too, and I've had people who work in the Vatican high-level priests that have come forward stating that, and other insiders from Italy that have stated that Father Hans Kolbenbeck, the Jesuit general who has an office at Borgo Santo Spirito Cinque, which is right near the Vatican, meets with the Pope every Friday when they're in town, and basically gives the Pope his marching orders. So there is a connection which might not be brought out in your lawsuit, but this goes very deep into connecting what Nuri Rivera was saying about the Jesuit influence and what their role is. Have they ever come up in this suit?
The Jesuits,
or is it mostly Franciscans?
Well, what people don't understand, and this is key to the Catholic Church and understanding all of it, is that actually the Vatican itself, its wealth pales in comparison to what is owned by some of the orders, so-called orders, like the Jesuits, the Franciscans, the Dominicans. These orders own massive amounts of property that's completely off the books. Think about it. Think of what Georgetown University's real estate is worth, and then multiply that times 1,000 worldwide.
Right.
Tremendous wealth. And as you say, they dictate to Rome, not the other way around, because they control the purse strings. They have more money than the Vatican Bank, I'll tell you that. And for example, one of the defendants in our lawsuit, in addition to the Vatican Bank, is the Franciscan Order. And you start looking at the property they control, and the holdings of the Vatican itself are just meager in comparison.
Right. So we have this infiltration of the hierarchy of the church doing what these people, these orders that own all this money. For example, the Jesuits alone own 28 universities in America and 54 high schools.
Correct.
Not to count their land holdings and their wealth. They have control interests of Bank of America.
They may well do that. You don't know, because, of course, they're treated as corporation sole or 501(c)s or religious organizations, many times not even filing tax returns. So you don't really even know what they own. And just like the Vatican itself, each order is compartmentalized into various provinces. So instead of dioceses, mm-hmm. they have a province which overlaps with the diocese, and instead of a bishop, you have a provincial, and each one's incorporated separately, and each little, in the case of the Franciscans, what they call a confraternity or a friary, those are all separately incorporated, so you never really know who owns what. It's quite diabolical.
Yeah, and the influence we see of our government now with Rome is amazing, and I had somebody on my show the other day that paralleled the Vatican organization to the Roman Empire, and they've just changed the names. And basically, you have the same thing going on in the world. Basically, what's happened really is Rome, the old Roman Empire, has morphed into the Vatican, and their control is now, like you said, more diabolical. They're like a chameleon, like Nuri Rivera said. They're constantly changing, but the same end is always there, and that is fascism.
Yes, it certainly to erode the influence of the state. You mentioned earlier immigration. Well, who is the greatest promoter of illegal immigration in the United States? Do you know, Greg?
The Vatican.
Well, of course, acting through the a Bishops' Conference in Washington, which through its Office of Immigration, which funds all the La Raza organizations, all the illegal immigrant organizations, all the Latin councils that have been set up around the country. Where'd they get their seed money? Through the Catholic Church. Through their money directly, and through some of the big foundations.
So when we talk about
Foundation, Gates Foundation, and Ford Foundation, these are the people who are eroding our borders.
Yeah, and people are fighting this, and they don't look to the real source, and the money's coming from the Vatican. And
why? You have to ask yourself, how did these illegal aliens get the money to organize and file lawsuits? Well, it's being organized by, in this case, the Bishops' Conference of the United States on direct orders from the Vatican.
Right. And their goal, basically, is to bring in as many as they can to be loyal to who? The Vatican. They're all mostly Roman Catholic countries. But it's also interesting, when you look at a Roman Catholic country overseas, you're always looking at a country that is, just in ruins. It's amazing to me when you look at South America. And these are all Roman Catholic countries, and it's either rich, poor, and then we have the church in the middle controlling everything. It's amazing.
That's right. You got a good point there. You'd make a great geopolitician. You look at weak governments, and where do you see the weak governments? In the Catholic governments. How many governments has Italy had since the Second World War? quite a, can't even count them all.
Yeah, they changed. I lived there for 6 years, John, and I know when I was there in 6 years, there were five new governments, and I did learn that the Vatican connection went deep into it with Henry Kissinger, Michael Ledeen, and others who are helping the Vatican sponsor terrorism against the Italian people, almost used as a test country, I thought.
Yeah, right. That was the influence of the P2 Lodge, which is still evident in Italy today.
Right. I've had people on from the P2 Lodge in Monte Carlo who are talking about this, and they've actually come up with names of people who are aware of 9/11. One now named Commandante Ugo Ballestieri, who's the head of the New York Rotary Club, who used to run drugs through the Porta Livorno. And with him and others, they were talking about 9/11. Licio Gelli, another famous P2 Lodge leader, he's still pulling the strings there in Italy. But he had prior knowledge to 9/11. As recorded and said by a gentleman I've had on my show named Leo Zagami, who was privy to this information. So here we go.
There's no question about it. Mr. Zagami has been criticized as insane, yet it's quite clear that he was a member of these lodges. I've seen the evidence.
Right. And he's pinning 9/11 being talked about by these people and orchestrated through Cardinal Egan in New York, and he's not afraid to say it. And I asked him, what was the main reason? And he said, well, this was the beginning of the Pope's crusade. And this was the beginning of the last crusade, where they take out the Middle East, they take out Israel, and they take out America all in one shot. What are your thoughts about that final end game? Scary.
Well, it's going on now, and a lot of it, I urge your listeners, besides your show, to listen to some of the news that comes from outside the country. Because if you thought the Inquisition was over, it's continuing now at The Hague. They have a fellow on trial there, Dr. Šešel, the former vice president of Yugoslavia. He'd be the president of Serbia now if they would let him go. And there's big news over in Europe, but I'm sure no one's even heard of the name over here, Šešel. And one of his allegations, and of his party, the Radical Party, that just won the election in Serbia, is that The Hague itself is dominated by a Masonic satanic conspiracy. And that they have documented instances of, for example, when Milosevic died, Šešel has said he was there on the inside of the prison. He knew that there was a secret Masonic ceremonious celebration going on. He's accused the judges of being Satanists. And, of course, this doesn't get much play over here because, of course, it's not deemed newsworthy, right?
by the fair and honest media we have, yes. We can't leave them out of the picture. They're bought and paid for also by the same people. I want to spend some time, though. I just remembered this, and I'm glad I did. You won a lawsuit against the CIA. This is another lawsuit. Tell us about that. It was Levy versus CIA.
That's right. Early on in the lawsuit against the Vatican Bank, became quite evident. We relied heavily on Freedom of Information Act requests that the CIA was lying to us about the existence of files regarding this case, regarding the Croatian operatives who were in the pay of the CIA, and went to court. We sued them, and eventually they declassified about 700 documents showing that one of the main figures, Father Draganovich, who was worked directly for Montini, Paul VI, was the chief money launderer of the Croatian treasury that we were suing about. And he was also in the pay of the U.S. Army and the CIA at various times.
And there are still people out there who say the Vatican's not involved. I mean, here we got documentation in a federal court case you filed against the CIA that Father, how do you pronounce that again, Draganovich?
Krunoslav Draganovich.
A priest was a head money launderer for the Croatian genocide. Unbelievable.
Right. Not just a priest, though, but a Vatican emissary reporting directly to the Undersecretary of State. So not a simple priest, a Vatican official.
All right, so here we have and tell us about how this case finally, how everything came to pass on the case you won.
Well, with the CIA, you just have to be very firm, and eventually, we had someone, of course, as in this case against the Vatican Bank, we had a witness come forward who said, you know what, you're right, because I translated those documents from Serbian for the CIA back in 1959. and tell them you have a witness. So we said, hey, we got, you say you don't have the files, I've got the guy that translated them for you. Suddenly it all became available.
And then you won the case, showed Vatican connections to our government, CIA, and still to this day, people will not grasp it. I think it's basically anytime your belief system is shocked like that, it's really hard to get around the story, you know, to really face the truth.
Well,
what do you think?
I'll give you another example. We were deposing our main witness, Bill Gowan, the former U.S. Army counterintelligence agent. Vatican attorney whips out a huge sheaf of documents from James Angleton's personal file. Never had been declassified. We'd never seen them before. In fact, I think I passed a couple over to you. And mm-hmm. It was just amazing. They were from Rome X2, which was clearly Angleton's office. No declassification markings on them, documents no one had ever seen before, but yet they're coming out of the briefcase of the Vatican attorney. I said, where'd you get those from? He said, from Washington.
And they're not involved in our foreign policy. It's just amazing, you know, the lengths these people will go to lie and deceive for their end game. And well, you ever thought about really what they want to do with this country? What's your thoughts?
Well, my feeling is that the Vatican, as you pointed out, they have their own set of organization and own set of beliefs, and therefore strong states are not in their best interest. They would like more pliable states like present-day Italy, for example, where you can have influence. So the best example is you want to erode the strength of the state, and one way to do that is by eroding the voter base by bringing in, hordes of undocumented, let's call them illegal aliens. That's what they are, people who grew up under essentially a fascist socialist government down there in Mexico and elsewhere, and bring them in, introduce them into the United States, and then eventually start running your own candidates.
Right.
That same mindset.
And erode the country from within, and they're doing it in the government. We've also seen how they've tried to erode the religions. I mean, their own religion.
Exactly, and you have people like Barack Obama, and you look into his background, brought up in a madras, apparently.
Right.
And he's running for president. And what other sort of candidates do we have to look forward to in the future? And of course, the democracy stays in place, but it's a watered down version of it because the people who run the government, like in Mexico, are only paying lip service to democracy.
Right, and they're all taking their marching orders from another source, and the best interests are not the people of the United States. And so they put in these politicians like Bush and now Barack Obama. We have Hillary Clinton. I mean, what choice really is there, Americans? There isn't one. There's no choice any longer. All we need to do now is just to continue to research. And you provide vital information, John, because this is not something, this is fact, this is the information you're bringing up in a federal case that shows the connections go deep. And they are a danger, I believe, to our freedoms. What's your thoughts?
Well, I've received many threats over the time, and thank God none of them have ever made good. But, I think there are people here who support these sort of lawsuits, and thank God we at least still have an independent judiciary. Even after being dismissed in the trial court, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals did reverse the case on a split decision, and now it's back down in the trial court. The U.S. Supreme Court declined to overturn the Ninth Circuit decision, which surprised a lot of people. So I think there is some hope. I don't think the Vatican controls everything, but yet as you point out, they are quite a force for evil. And on the other hand, there are a lot of good people in the Catholic Church. More good than evil, I'd say that.
Yeah, and I wish we could get to these people so that they could understand what's happening at the top levels, because this is something that is going to affect everyone in the world. I mean, at this point, we're losing children overseas. I mean, the countries of the Middle East, Israel, and America will never be the same if we don't out these people. And all the people that are listening that have a hard time believing, just listen to what John said about some of their connections. Where else do they control? That's my point. When you start bringing this up, John, I start thinking, what else do they control? Is that where you go to with it?
Well, yeah, I'll tell you, an organization that can pay $2 billion to settle sexual abuse cases at the blink of an eye is certainly a powerful organization.
Right.
And of course, that's the small scandal. The big one is, what have they been doing with all the money all these years? That's what would really shock the parishioners. Where did all that money go?
Right. Well, they're asked to give every day at Sunday Mass, and you know, they pass the pot around. It's amazing to me. I tell people, do not give to this organization until we can find out the truth about where the money's going, and that's what you're trying to do.
That's right. That the primary cause of action, which is why this is being fought for so long and so hard, is an accounting. We want the Vatican Bank to account for what happened to money laundered from the Second World War. But, of course, you know, once that's done, finally other people will wake up and say, hey, we want an accounting, too. We want to know what happened to money from Germany. We want to know what happened to money from the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a snowball effect they want to stop. And this attorney, Lena, by the way, do you know his background? I mean, has he always been involved with the Pope or what?
Well, he popped up right about the time we sued the Vatican Bank in 1999, and he has very strong connections to Italy.
Okay, we're going to take a break, come back with our final segment with Jonathan Levy, back in about 3 minutes on the Investigative Journal.
Do you desire your health and vitality to be in harmony with the rhythms of nature? Trivortex technology features subtle energy products that boost energy levels, relieve pain and stress, and much more at very affordable prices. You have the opportunity to wear vitamins, minerals, and nutrients that absorb through your skin rather than taking them orally. This is real, not science fiction. Go to trivortex.com, that is TRIVORTEX.com, to open a whole new realm of health and vitality for you and your family. This is Brian David Anderson, inventor of Trivortex technology products that assist in so many areas, such as pain relief, symptoms of menopause, losing weight, or stopping smoking. Trivortex technology is in harmony with the rhythms of nature.
Hey America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc. patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, here's the number to call, 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com. That number to call again, 702-953-0267.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true, that there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Okay, we're back. Our final segment with John Levy, attorney for he's representing a number of victims of the against the Vatican Bank regarding the Croatian genocide. Jonathan, how many people do you represent in this case? What is give us a little background of your clients?
Well, we have about a dozen or so survivors or relatives of survivors, and then we represent a number of organizations in Serbia, Ukraine, and the United States that have an interest in the matter.
All right, and they are trying to get at the truth behind what happened to all these people. Any other things of interest that you see through this lawsuit that we missed regarding that you'd like to tell people about the Vatican Bank and other things that go on in Rome?
Well, again, I have the charter of the Vatican Bank, and it's just an amazing document. It gives them the power to receive movable and immovable property as long as a portion of it is earmarked for pietical purposes. No question.
And that portion is not designated, is it?
That portion is not designated, and the fact is, since it's the Vatican, it probably is the only banking institution still around that's not blacklisted that is allowed to probably take property of questionable origin. Because I work in international banking, and it really has tightened up. You can't do what you used to do 10 years ago. Banks, where you can open a bank account, bank will want to know where that came from, where'd that money come from.
So the church doesn't mind taking dirty money then, right?
Well, that would appear, again, that they're not held to normal banking standards, but yet they are plugged right into the European banking system.
Interesting. And what about the oversight of this bank, the Vatican Bank? I find that interesting.
Yeah, that's a joke. I mean, they have a Cardinals Commission. Like including Cardinal Maida of Detroit. I mean, like cardinals are going to oversee an international banking operation. And then they have a so-called layman's group, but these are paid consultants who are supposed to oversee it. And then they have the officers who run the bank on a day-to-day basis.
Right. And the final power goes to where, this group of cardinals, or does it go up to the Pope?
Nobody knows. That is one of the prime issues we're litigating. Who owns the Vatican Bank? That is never actually, and in fact, the Vatican, that's the one question they really will not answer. You would think they'd simply have that's the prime question. If the Vatican owns the Vatican Bank, then it might have some immunity. But they refuse to produce an official from the Vatican saying they own the bank.
So you can't even find out who owns the bank.
No, they refuse. They pretty much outright refuse to produce either a Vatican or a Vatican Bank official who will answer that question. Instead, relying on so-called expert testimony from an attorney who admittedly has nothing to do with the Vatican. And that's what they've produced. In fact, that's one of the things the court's ruling on. And I think we've got them, Greg, because you know who owns the Vatican Bank? I think Opus Dei got a mortgage on it back in the 80s. And that's why the Vatican will not say they own it.
So, yeah, well, let's keep up on that. Jonathan, I want to find out. Opus Dei possibly owning the Vatican Bank, that would be quite a shock. I mean, what's that organization all about? Have you found anything?
Oh, yeah, there's quite a bit, and as you know from the Da Vinci Code as well. There's a lot of information out there on the Opus Dei, some of it true, some of it not true.
Okay, listen, Jonathan, we ran out of time. It's been a great interview. Thanks for updating us on your lawsuit, and we'll keep in touch. Jonathan, thanks a lot. Okay, that was my guest, Jonathan Levy. We're all out of time today on the Investigative Journal. Boy, these 2 hours just flew by. I hope you learned a little bit. I sure did. We're going to be back tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow, same time, same place, from 11 to 1 on the Republic Broadcasting Network. So you have a good afternoon, and until then, good afternoon.